Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the 3Q FY 2022 earnings conference call of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Akella from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Rutuja. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the 3Q FY 2022 earnings conference call of Chemplast Sanmar Limited. It's my pleasure to introduce the company's senior management team who are here with us to discuss the results. We have with us Mr. Ramkumar Shankar, Managing Director, Mr. N. Muralidharan, Executive Director of Finance, and Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari, Executive Director, Custom Manufactured Chemicals Division. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by the management team, and thereafter we'll open up the call for a Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Ramkumar Shankar to take proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ramkumar.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody, and I hope that I am audible. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited and the management team, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone for joining us on our call today. I hope everyone is safe and healthy. Let me start with a quick snapshot of our company, and then we will walk you through the operational and financial performance in the quarter under review. Chemplast Sanmar is a 55-year-old company tracing its heritage back to the 1960s. Our sponsors include two very well-respected names, the Sanmar Group, one of the oldest and most prominent industrial groups in South India, and Fairfax, a well-known international investor. Over the years, Chemplast has carved out a niche in the Indian specialty chemical sector. We are the largest manufacturer of specialty paste PVC resin in India, and via our wholly owned subsidiary, Chemplast Kabloon Vinyls Limited, we are the second largest manufacturer of suspension PVC in India. The company is also a leading player in custom manufacturing of starting and intermediate chemicals, catering to multinational innovator companies in agrochemical, pharmaceutical, and fine chemical industries. Further, we hold a significant leadership position in the non-specialty segment like caustic soda, chloromethanes, and hydrogen peroxide, which complete the integration story of the company. We have four manufacturing facilities in the southern region of India, namely in Tamil Nadu and the Union Territory of Puducherry. The company has a very high degree of vertical and horizontal integration with captive facilities to meet feedstock and intermediate requirements. Our integrated facilities position us very well in weathering price volatility across our portfolio of products. Our growth has always been governed by strong environmental health and safety standards. Over the years, we've invested significantly in this area. All our manufacturing sites have zero liquid discharge plants, which ensure that all liquid effluent is treated and reused within the process with no discharge outside. The coastal plants at Karaikal and Cuddalore on the east coast of India also have desalination plants, which ensure that we draw water only from the sea and do not disturb the groundwater table, which enables us to live in harmony with the neighboring communities. Also, we've earned the right to use the Responsible Care logo, which is an international chemical industry initiative granted after very stringent third-party audits. We release annual sustainability reports prepared in accordance with global GRI standards and assured by a Big Four audit firm. 13 such reports have been released till now. With that brief company overview, let me now move on to our performance in the quarter just ended. Q3 has been a very strong quarter financially, with revenues registering a 33% growth year-on-year and net profit growing 48% year-on-year. Our CFO Muralidharan will talk about this in detail a bit later. Our specialty chemicals business continued to be strong in the quarter, with paste PVC registering a higher realization resulting in healthy margins. We commercialized two new products on the custom manufacturing side and started dispatches for these products as well. After reaching all-time highs in October, paste PVC prices corrected a bit and are now trading close to $1,700 to $1,750 per ton. And in the near to medium term horizon, we expect prices to be range bound. With respect to non-specialty chemicals, caustic soda prices peaked during the quarter and still continue to be on the higher side. Currently, it's trading closer to $600 to $650 a ton. The Indian market for chloromethanes reached record highs due to import restrictions. However, with the addition of new capacity in India, there has been some correction in prices, though even after the correction, the prices are still higher than pre-pandemic levels. Once the market absorbs the incremental volume, we expect the prices to move up again. Suspension PVC prices reached a record high in the month of October, largely on account of supply-side tightness. Thereafter, prices have weakened a bit but continue to remain at healthy levels. We expect prices to continue to remain strong as no significant capacity addition is on the anvil in the near term. It is noteworthy that feedstock VCM prices have dropped even more than PVC has. However, the benefit of the drop in VCM prices would kick in after a lag of 30 to 45 days, while the impact of the drop in PVC prices would have an immediate impact. Therefore, we expect margins on suspension PVC to improve in a couple of months as the benefit of the VCM price drops start to register. Sales volume of paste PVC were lower than production, largely due to the restriction on operation of downstream units in the National Capital Region in Q3 due to the poor air quality. This led to some stock buildup, which is expected to be liquidated in Q4 and the months ahead. Similarly, suspension PVC volumes were also affected to some extent in November and December, largely due to the extended rains. Here too, the inventory buildup is expected to be liquidated in the near term. The one unknown in the quarter ahead is the impact of the Omicron variant on operation of industries, our end-use industries and the demand. However, given the experience so far, this variant seems to have a milder impact and thus the fallout could be milder and more short-term. Looking ahead, we are rigorously working on our expansion projects which were mentioned at the time of IPO. For our proposed paste PVC expansion of 35,000 tons per annum, we have received the environmental clearance. In fact, the clearance has been received for 70,000 tons, but as of now, we are going ahead with 35,000 tons per annum expansion as phase one. Once that is complete, we will review the next phase. This project is well on track and is expected to come up by FY24 near the existing facility of our wholly owned subsidiary, Chemplast Cuddalore Vinyl Limited at Cuddalore. We are leveraging our subsidiary's existing infrastructure, including land and the import terminal for this expansion. We are also working on expanding our custom manufacturing business with the addition of new multipurpose facilities, thereby bringing in new products which are in the pipeline. Planning, detailed engineering and ordering are already in progress for the first phase of expansion. Given the make or buy economics on ethylene dichloride, we have now optimized our production of caustic soda and EDC. And another aspect of growth which is very imminent is the debottlenecking of our suspension PVC capacity by 10%. This is expected to come fully online by the first quarter of FY23. This is a phased debottlenecking, part of which is already completed. Now I would request our CFO Muralidharan to share the quarterly financial highlights. Murali?
Thanks, Shankumar. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope I am clearly audible. Looking at the key highlights of Chemplast's performance in Q3 and 9 months FY22, Chemplast Sanmar on a consolidated basis registered a significant increase in its revenue and operating profits for Q3 FY22 as compared to the same period of the previous financial year. Revenue from operations for Q3 stood at 1,452 crores, registering a growth of 33% on year-on-year basis. This was on account of higher realizations per ton for most of our products, specialty paste PVC, suspension PVC, chloromethanes and caustic soda. On the volume front, while the non-specialty products volume for the quarter was higher, sales volume for paste PVC and suspension PVC for the quarter was slightly lower on year-on-year basis, primarily due to restrictions around operation of downstream units in the NCR region due to poor air quality and extended monsoons during October to December 21 quarter. This resulted in some buildup of paste PVC and suspension PVC inventory by end December 21. The demand has since picked up strongly and the inventory is expected to get diluted in the near term. This quarter saw record prices for some of our key products during October 21. Though the input prices also went up, the increase in the end product prices more than offset the higher input costs and the margins were quite healthy. The end product and input prices have since eased off during November 21 and December 21, with the price of key input vinyl chloride monomer correcting higher than the correction in the end product suspension PVC price. Going forward, with a strong pickup in demand and continuing supply tightness, we expect the prices to be reasonably range-bound. EBITDA for the quarter was at 353 crores, registering a growth of 25% on year-on-year basis, and the EBITDA margin for the quarter was at a healthy level of 24%. Keplar Sanmar prepaid its NCDs in the month of August using IPO proceeds, and our subsidiary CCVL renegotiated its home loan interest from 11.75% to 8.75% in Q2 of FY22. Thus, our finance cost for the quarter came down significantly to 37 crores from 113 crores on year-on-year basis. Driven by higher operating profits and lower interest and finance costs, the PAT grew by 48% to 237 crores compared to 160 crores during the same period in the previous year. Looking at the year-to-date numbers, revenue from operations for the 9 months grew by 66% to 4,085 crores as compared to 2,457 crores in the corresponding period last year. And EBITDA for the 9 months grew by 67% to 850 crores compared to 511 crores in the 9 months FY21. With the higher operating profits and the lower finance costs, net profit for 9 months FY22 grew to 417 crores, which is over 9 times the PAT of 46 crores in the corresponding period in the previous year. On the balance sheet front, the company continues to be debt-free on a standalone basis, and on a consolidated basis, the net debt is negligible. On the rating front, both Keplar Sanmar and Keplar Karnoor Vinyls Limited have been rated A+ for the long-term debt and A1+ for the short-term debt by CRISIL. This is actually a two-notch increase compared to the earlier ratings for both the companies. That concludes our presentation on the Q3 results of Keplar Sanmar, and we would like to open the floor for further discussions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ahmed from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. First question is that there is some demand impact in Q3 because of erratic monsoon and other reasons. So can you please share the inventory pileup as of December 21 for both suspension and paste PVC?
Yeah, sure. As you rightly said, because of the extended rains in most parts of the country, the demand was affected for pipes and therefore for resin as well. Our stock as at the end of December was around 24,000 tons for suspension PVC. And paste PVC stock was around 6,000 tons. This was the demand for this was actually impacted not because of the rains, but more because of the restrictions in the National Capital Region for on the operations of industrial units because of the poor air quality. And that since a significant proportion of the leather cloth industry is situated in the National Capital Region, that affected end-use demand. So paste PVC stock moved up to 6,000 tons.
Okay, sir. And sir, PVC end-user industries have recently filed petition regarding the reduction in the PVC import duty for the current budget. And then that may impact the premium domestic players are able to charge related to the imported PVC. So how does that impact our profitability? Can you please give some light on that?
This is a very, hypothetical situation, so it's not really... I don't think we need to spend too much time on that. It is just they have made a request. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But all that I would like to say here is this. PVC duties went up from 7.5% to 10% as recently as in 2019. And this was done after a lot of deliberation and discussion and for very valid reasons. Essentially, PVC is a very, very strategic commodity which goes into very important sectors like construction, like agriculture and water conveyancing. And therefore, it is always better not to be over-dependent on imports for such a strategic commodity. Given that, the government also realized that the factor costs in India were much higher than in comparable countries, and therefore to encourage further manufacture of PVC in India, it would be better to give this increase in duty. And this happened just as recently as in 2019. And equally importantly, this 10% is not exorbitantly high. It is quite comparable with the levels of tariffs that are prevailing in various other countries which are comparable to India at the stage of development that we are in. Therefore, we are quite confident that there has been absolutely no change since 2019 on this front, and we see no reason why there would be any changes in duty.
Okay, sir, makes sense. Thanks for the detailed answer. And this is second question on the PVC supply demand also. So I think Adani is also trying to enter PVC industry. They have announced expansion, etc. So how does that impact demand supply domestically in Indian market? That is first question. The second question is, how do we see expanding our suspension PVC capacity and tie-up with VCM supplier?
Okay. As far as the PVC supply demand in India is concerned, by 2026, the demand is expected to grow to around 4.5 million tons. And with the current capacity of around 1.5 million tons, that would mean a gap of 3 million tons as far as suspension PVC is concerned. So this is a huge gap. Now, any new capacity that comes in is actually welcome, because once new capacity comes in, even the downstream producers tend to increase their capacities because they have more confidence of availability of material. So even that 4.5 million tons could go up even more, given the fact that the per capita consumption of PVC in India is far lower than in the rest of the region. For instance, in India it is around 2.4 to 2.5 kilos, whereas in China it is in excess of 10 kilos, and in other Southeast Asian countries it's anywhere between 4.5 to almost 8. So we are way behind, and some supply side security would also give the confidence to downstream producers to expand. So we do not see any impact as it is of any new capacity coming in other than a positive impact. Even the capacity that is announced can come in by only around 2025 or 2026, because it takes that kind of a time to build for a new greenfield plant, unlike a brownfield expansion like ours. So that is on the, how the market would absorb this additional capacity. As far as our own expenses are concerned, we are always focused on growth opportunities on various fronts, and we are always looking at that. Our current focus is on growing our specialty chemicals side and increasing the contribution of specialty chemicals to our overall portfolio. In this regard, we have already announced, as I was also mentioning in my opening remarks, we are already working on the specialty paste PVC expansion, as also the custom manufactured chemicals expansion. In the suspension PVC, we are doing a small debottlenecking which will add 10%, and that will come in quite early, within the next 3 to 4 months. Having said that, any future expansions are things that would be dependent on, like you also said, the feedstock tie-up. These are all capital intensive. If we decide to integrate ourselves on the feedstock ourselves, then that would mean far more capital commitment. So that is something that we will look at the right time.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And sir, second question is on the cash position. So how much cash we have as of December, and on the standalone balance sheet and on the CCVL balance sheet? And have you paid any payables in this quarter?
Yeah, our total cash position was at 856 crores as at the end of the period. And we have considering the negative carry, we have consciously reduce the payables to some extent this quarter.
Can you please quantify?
Actually, we paid almost 515 crores either as upfront payment for purchase of VCM or as prepayment of VCM.
Okay, sir. And sir, the second question is the dividend policy side. In CCVL, we have a negative net worth and we can't distribute cash, I suppose. And for the standalone entity, we have the capex requirement for both paste PVC and CMC business. So how that will work, the dividend policy will work in the future, and have we given any thought on the dividend policy so far?
No, as you would appreciate, we are just a few months post-listing, and I think this is something that our board will consider at an appropriate time. I'm sure when the annual results are published, at that point in time, the board will consider and take an appropriate decision on the dividend in terms of what is the policy for dividend going forward and what would be the distribution, all of those. Okay. And as far as the project funding is concerned, I think Chemplast Sanmar has enough cash to take care of the equity portion of the project that needs to be funded. As you know, the total project that's currently being committed is around 650-700 crores. And Chemplast will have enough cash to take care of its commitment towards the project.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ahmed. May I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my questions. I have a couple. First one was on the PVC business. So in 3Q, you know, despite a significant decline in volumes on a quarter-on-quarter basis because of the challenges that you highlighted, the overall EBITDA is, you know, flattish sequentially or even slightly higher, which kind of implies that the margins have expanded quite, you know, significantly sequentially. And in your commentary, you also mentioned that the benefit of the correction in VCM prices will be visible over the next 30 to 45 days. So I just wanted to clarify, should we interpret that commentary to indicate that margins can be can improve even further from 3Q levels, or how exactly should we think about that?
Abhijit, that was a good question. See, what happened, let me just take a step back and explain what happened in Q3. We reached, you know, record highs of suspension PVC prices in October 2021. And thereafter, once, you know, this was at the peak of the dual controls and all that coal shortages that were there around the region, especially in China. And thereafter, when the Chinese government stepped in and corrected the situation there because of the, you know, coming winter requirements for heating, the availability of PVC did improve. And here again, the demand in India was impacted because of the extended rains. And that together led to prices falling off the highs. So, this drop in prices continued till about mid-January. After that, there has been stability on the prices, and in fact, right now it looks like you know, some import quotes that are coming in are actually higher than the earlier round. So it means that the prices seem to be looking up again. But the point is that we have built up stocks, and those stocks will get liquidated over the next couple of months, and from March onwards, we would start to see the margins again being restored to the, you know, to the high levels that we have seen in the recent past. So this is really where we are. So the first couple of months of Q4, there could be a little muted margins as far as suspension PVC is concerned.
Okay, got it. Understood. And the second question I just had was on the custom manufacturing chemicals business. You've talked about the commercialization of two new molecules. So just wondering if there is any further color that it might be possible to share with us on that. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Krishna here. Sure. So, yeah, we did commercialize two new molecules. In fact, on one of them, the campaign got over, and we actually have a repeat order for the next campaign now. On hand, and the second molecule, you know, we are in the process of making shipments, and that campaign will get done sometime this quarter. And also the pipeline is very strong. You know, we have a number of products that we are working on that are at various stages of commercialization, and we are making good progress on those as well.
Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So, just following up with the earlier question on the base PVC, on the, PVC margins overall. While, take your point on, probably moderate margins in the month of January and February and maybe a rebound thereafter. But do you expect, let's say, even March onwards, the margins to remain elevated going ahead as well, given the benefits that we will see on the RM and the pricing side?
I didn't quite catch the last point. From March onwards?
So on the margins, while take your point that, the significant improvement in margins may be visible from March onwards, wherein the stock liquidation will happen. But do you expect those margins to sustain at those levels, or probably they will also drift down and normalize to maybe an FY 2022 average number?
See, margins are likely to, from March. Okay, let me give you an idea of the extent of, the price delta between PVC and VCM. In October, the peaks that were reached were PVC of $1,900 and VCM of around $1,600. So that delta was around $300 a ton at that point in time. Now, the $1,900 of PVC have come off to $1,500. Now, all these levels are much higher than pre-pandemic levels. So it's, which is what we expected because of the fact that, global tightness is very much there. So suspension PVC came down to $1,500 levels. VCM is down to $1,100 level. So while the drop in PVC has been from $1,900 to $1,500, which is $400, the drop in VCM is $500. So the margin should kick in, and this is where we expect that to be. And obviously, there will be some movement here and there. So it is a question of, we can't really predict with absolute certainty where we would be. But all I would say is that we are quite positive in the direction.
Sure. Sure. Okay. That's helpful. And second question on the CSM side, you did mention some thoughts there on the new product launches and the pipeline there. If I look at our sort of, quarterly run rate here on the CSM side, obviously, there is a Q-on-Q sharp jump there. If you can quantify maybe the opportunity size of these two molecules and, the current capacity utilization, whether we have sort of, adequate capacity to ramp up these products further and maybe capitalize on the newer ones. And a related question to that will be the CSM expansion that we are planning, the timelines there, if you can share on that side.
So on the two new products that we have commercialized, with respect to capacity, as we have declared earlier, so we are, fairly close to operating at full capacity, but we continue to debottleneck and, squeeze additional capacities out of the existing asset base. And so these two new products, we would be able to continue manufacturing them, as we go along in the future campaign. But the intent long term is to move some of these as well as the other products that are in the pipeline at various stages, they will move into the new production block or the multipurpose blocks, that we are in the process of building. And so with respect to that, we are on track on in terms of the project related to the new multipurpose block. And, so we will have, better updates as we go along in the coming months on that.
Sure. So if I got you right, the new multipurpose projects will be probably coming in FY 2024, but till then, debottlenecking-led expansion will help us sort of, drive growth here on the revenue side. Will that be right?
So the new multipurpose block is FY 2023's plan.
Okay.
But the second part is right. I mean, we still, till that comes along, we have growth in our existing products as well, as well as the ones that we have commercialized this year. We will be able to manage those within the existing facilities. Yeah.
Sure, sir. And if I may just squeeze in one follow-up on this, the margin profile of these newer products that we are making versus the older one, is there a significant difference, or broadly we are on the similar trajectory?
It will be the similar, similar trajectory.
Okay. Great, sir. That's helpful, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Ankur.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, team. Yeah. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First, to start with, sir, what sort of volume recovery do you see in the fourth quarter for TCVL?
Okay. See, we believe that whatever the inventory that we built up in Q3 will be liquidated over the next few months. So demand is already picking up. As you know, the rains have stopped now, and obviously with the entire chain having been destocked, there is very little inventory available in the system. So there is a pull that is started. If things go exactly as we expect, it could happen over the next 3 months, we could see all this inventory go off.
Okay. So in third quarter, we did roughly 93,000 tons volume. And you have an inventory of 24,000 tons, the carry forward inventory. So can we go anywhere close to the third quarter volumes?
The
second quarter volume, like second quarter we did 93,000 tons.
Yeah, yeah, we should be doing that. We should be, that should be possible.
Touching that, perfect. And sir, now this 24,000 ton must be at a higher VCM price, and now the VCM prices have fallen. So can you tell me what will be the cost of this 24,000 ton inventory which we are carrying?
I don't have that exact number right now with me, but all I can tell you is that there is I just pulled it up. So would you like to go?
Yeah. The cost of the inventory is around is at 120,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, fine. And the VCM, what will be the VC? Would you be able to share the VCM, like the rate at which, you know, the production cost of this?
So VCM is roughly is being carried roughly around $1,380 level.
Can you repeat, sir?
$1,380 level.
$1,380. Okay.
Yeah. Around that.
Okay. And the prices which you gave, $400 spread is the current spread, correct? 1500 and 1100.
That is right. That is right. That is based on current numbers.
Okay. And this spread it will be reflected in the fourth quarter, or it will be reflected in the first quarter?
Like I said, this should start kicking in from around March. And maybe the full impact will be in the first quarter.
The first quarter, yeah, the 35-40 days gap you mentioned. Okay. And sir, even the pace...
May I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Kiran Gandhi from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. So if you could just highlight on the anti-dumping duty on PVC, which is expiring mid-Feb. So what is the status of that? And
So the anti-dumping duty that we have is on two countries, imports from two countries, which is basically US and China. This ranges from around 2 to 10% in the case of the US and 4 to 10% in the case of China. Actually, I just converted this into a percentage. This is denominated in specific dollars per ton, and it differs to given the to the importer risk or the exporter risk. This is expiring on 13th of February, and we do not expect any great impact because of this, any impact really. Largely because, as far as the U.S. is concerned, even now, the FAS Houston prices of PVC from the U.S. is already higher than the CFR India prices. And therefore, given that and given the the time involved in shipping PVC all the way from the U.S. to India, the very high logistics cost, the non-availability of containers, etc. U.S. is really not a threat. In fact, we don't see much material coming in from the U.S. to India. And as far as China is concerned, here again, we do not believe that it is going to be a threat. The way these things normally work is that whenever there is an anti-dumping duty imposed on a specific company, that company normally reduces its price to factor in this anti-dumping duty, and the others on whom there is no anti-dumping duty get the benefit as a higher price. Now, when the anti-dumping duty is removed, the general practice is for this company also to raise their price to the same level as the others. They do not leave that money on the table. So we do not think that this will impact the market at all.
Okay. Okay, sure. And but let's say if I were to see your pricing, as you mentioned, you know, typically, you know, we are, the local prices are at 10 to 15% premium to landed across all petchem products, whereas currently, as we see, you know, from what it seems, you are at a 3-4% discount. So do you think in that sense, even if, you know, globally spreads come off regionally and all, there is a cushion in terms of local pricing premiums?
See, if you take, for instance, suspension PVC, the normal premium is around $30 a ton over import parity price. And if you look at paste PVC, it could be anywhere from $50 to $100 a ton in terms of import parity. But when prices by themselves are very high, at that point in time, the premiums are moderated down. You know, it's it would be a bit a little too much to add a premium on top of what is already a very high price level. And these things vary a little bit, but normally they average around these levels. So,
okay.
Yes, okay. You would find that that could be some, you know, opportunity there.
Okay. So, Palatia versus $30 premium, is it fair to say today we are at a discount?
Today we are on parity. We are not at a discount. We are on parity. In some markets, we would already definitely be at a premium. It also depends on the geographies that we are selling into. Because, you know, if the prices, the equivalent would be slightly different in the north, in the west, and in the south.
Okay. Okay. Sure. And one last question. Any timelines for, since you've got the EC for paste PVC expansion, any clarity on the timelines, if you can share?
We are sticking, you know, we have said that we would be commissioning this by around October 23, and I think that is, we are well on track for that.
Okay, sure, I'll come in queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. So, just one clarification: the specialty chem, the specialty chem business that we disclose in the presentation, does it include just the PVC, the paste PVC segment, or it includes some others too? What I'm trying to see, understand is, if I do the revenue and the quantity of specialty chemical to get the realization, will it just be for the paste PVC, or does it include even others?
Specialty chemicals includes paste PVC and custom manufactured chemical products. These two we view as specialty chemicals, and we track them together. So that is how it is presented as well.
Got it. Got it. So okay. So custom manufacturing and this thing. Got it. Perfect, sir. So the second question was, the volume decline in the paste PVC segment or the specialty chemical is about 37% YOY, also on a QOQ basis it's lower, and I believe that is largely for the paste PVC. Custom manufacturing is broadly similar. So this seems a significant decline. So you mentioned about NCR region, but just to get some context here, what would be NCR's percentage of total, you know, India demand for paste PVC?
Around 60% of the total leather cloth industry is concentrated around that region, and leather cloth by itself is around 75 to 80% of the total demand for paste PVC. So you can make out the importance of that region. And during the winter, it happened this year that there were restrictions on the operations of industrial units in the NCR. And that obviously impacted the demand a bit. See, one of the things that actually impacted was the, Omicron resulting in schools being shut down again. And that would, again, that again had an impact On the footwear demand, usually the school footwear demand picks up around this time and people start preparing for the school season. And again, when there was a shutdown, so that again had an impact. But actually now with all schools reopening around the country, we have started to see that footwear demand come back. And therefore, we believe that this is just a temporary buildup of inventory.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, so because if I think of the NCR region, it seems even last year and probably it seems a regular event now. Every time in winters, they have this issue, at least for a couple of weeks. So it seems it's more to do with the footwear thing rather than the normal winter issue.
It's a little bit of both. This time possibly it was a little more extended than last time. But I think that what we possibly need to consider that as some kind of a seasonality going forward, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Perfect, sir. And so the last question is, you mentioned that the paste PVC pricing is about $1,700. Currently, it is settled at that range. And you mentioned the paste PVC is currently at, the suspension PVC is about $1,500. So is the $1,500 the domestic pricing that you mentioned for SPVC and for the paste PVC that you mentioned is the international pricing? Because if I look at the gap between the two, it's about 15 to 16 rupees per kg in kg terms. And if I look at the historical trend, the paste PVC pricing had started to, you know, reflect some premium to the suspension PVC. I mean, much larger premium versus what it used to trend historically. So I'm just trying to understand, the gap seems to have narrowed a bit. So is there a difference between the quoted price that you mentioned?
No, not really. Yes, it is. It's come down to around 1700 to 1725, around that levels right now. And suspension PVC at this level. See, what has happened really is that suspension PVC has really picked up strongly because of the shortage globally. So that it's not that paste PVC has actually dropped, it's just that suspension PVC has picked up. Okay. So, we're not complaining.
Okay, got it. So, but is that right that generally the differential between the SPVC and paste PVC was the price realization differential was more than 20-25 rupees at least in the last 2-3 years? So there, probably I'm just trying to understand, does it give some scope that the paste PVC prices can be further higher than what they are currently?
That scope is there, like in suspension, when suspension prices came down, paste PVC prices also at the same time when the Chinese situation eased up because of the dual controls, etc., there again it did come down. See, the one thing that we will need to understand is that a lot of this capacity for both the suspension and paste is concentrated in China. And a lot of that in turn is based on this archaic carbide route, which is coal chemical waste. And this is really the area which is under focus right now, both from the point of view of emission control and also from the point of view of the mercury, phase-out under the Minamata Convention. So there is the story is yet to play out fully there. What we saw in October and the early part of November was, I guess, just a trailer of what is likely to happen when that crackdown on emissions in China plays out, and it is still work in progress.
Got it. So just to confirm, both the pricing that you mentioned, the dollar pricing that you mentioned, or domestic pricing, they're not the international prices.
Yes, sir. This is CFR India prices.
They are CFR India prices, Dhruv. So CFR after India. That, you add the duty and then whatever premium you get locally.
Got it. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants are requested to please limit their question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seed from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations, Mr. Ram Kumar and Muralidharan and team. Sir, I have just one question. While on the suspension PVC, we were looking for a feedstock tie-up for which we are waiting for announcing a capacity expansion. Now, if I look at, the supply side, VCM is having a shortage or EDC is having shortage. And can you give some color on the economics of producing from EDC to suspension PVC and VCM to suspension PVC?
First of all, good afternoon, Bharat Bhai, and thank you for your kind words. As far as EDC and VCM are concerned, you know, as you know, EDC is one step, before VCM in terms of the value chain. So from EDC, you make VCM, and then from VCM, we make the PVC. And if you have to invest in the manufacture of VCM itself, it is capital intensive because you will need to set up, even based on imported EDC and imported imported ethylene, if we have that, you still will need significant capex for investing in a VCM production facility. So obviously the value addition would be more. You would capture a bit more of the value chain, but then you would also have to invest a lot more in that. Whereas if you are importing VCM and making PVC, it is an asset-light model, like I mentioned in the last call as well.
Correct.
And while our margins would be lower, our investment is far, far lower. So it is a kind of a toss-up between, you know, the capital investment and the operating margins. So we have chosen to do it through the VCM route, largely to, reduce the time to market, and also because that would give us a better return on capital. And that was how we've done it. And for the last 12 years, we've been successful as well in setting up a supply chain that meets our requirements. Any further investment, we would need to then look at how much VCM is available or whether to go through the integrated route itself. And that is something that, like I said, we would take a decision at the appropriate time. As far as our paste PVC is concerned, incidentally, we have 100% of the VCM manufacturer in-house. So there we are fully integrated.
So, sorry, I mean, how much is that, ROC difference between if one really look at the spread between going from EDC to suspension PVC and VCM to PVC? So what kind of ROC difference and how much additional, for say, 1 lakh ton capacity, capacity is required?
Yeah. So today, let me give you very, very rough thumb rule numbers. For setting up maybe a 300,000 ton PVC plant based on imported VCM, which is more or less a brownfield site like ours. I'm not talking about a completely greenfield site, which could be much higher. A brownfield site like ours, which already has a marine terminal, the pipeline, the VCM storage tank and all that, that could cost maybe around $100 to $125 million. But an equivalent 300,000 ton VCM plant could cost us anywhere between $250 to $300 million. So this is, again, these are all, very rough numbers, which also equally depend on the geography where you're setting it up. But that kind of gives you an idea of the difference in capital investment that is required for the integration that you're seeking. And today, EDC prices are pretty high at around $850 a ton, whereas VCM prices are at $1,100 a ton. So that advantage is not so much seen for a new plant.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
I had two questions. The first question is if you can please share the pricing scenario for caustic soda currently versus the Q3 quarter. What would be, like, if there's a decline, what would be the approximate percentage decline and what is the outlook? And my next question is, recently the government of India has revoked anti-dumping duty on flexi films PVC. So just wanted to understand if this is part of your product portfolio and what would be the contribution to sales if it is part of the product portfolio. Thank you.
Revoke the anti-dumping duty on, sorry, I missed that last part.
Pardon, sir?
I missed that last part. Revoke the anti-dumping duty on?
On flexi films, PVC flexi films.
Okay, let me take the second question first. PVC flex films is not something that we produce. That's one of the products that's made using the PVC resin that we produce. A large part of the overall PVC industry in the sense that For us, more than 78% is comprised of PVC pipes and fittings. And then a large part comes to wires and cables and profiles as well. So that doesn't directly affect us. As far as caustic soda is concerned, actually, caustic soda has prices have only been increasing. And in fact, the benefit of these increased prices we will start seeing in Q4, because the way the industry operates is that roughly around 60% of our sales is based on short-term and, 3 to 6 month contracts. And those are all based on the prices, fixed price contracts. So as and when those contracts that were, entered into earlier are ended, we will start seeing the benefit of the current prices. So that this is why you would, even for other companies who are into caustic soda, you would start seeing that benefit on higher prices coming in from, Q3 and then more so in Q4. So prices will, you'll only start seeing higher prices in Q4. And incidentally, on this anti-dumping duty revocation on PVC film, the Gujarat High Court has actually stayed the order. So it's not yet, implemented. Did that answer your question?
Just if you can put an approximate number, percentage, what would be the increase in caustic soda prices compared to third quarter as of now, approximately, in percentage?
The third quarter prices were somewhere around average, at least what we realized was somewhere around 40,000 levels. Now it is close to 50,000 levels.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking the question.
Thank you, Yogesh.
The next question is from the line of Amanjit Singh from Oculus Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Amanjit Singh, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted. As there is no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. I have two questions. First, on the SPVC demand in fourth quarter, we see third quarter volumes have dipped significantly. How has that trend, is being seen in the fourth quarter? And second, do you see any supply influx coming in from China in the current quarter? As we understand, one of your competitors said that there could be an increase in supply from China, which could have a downward pressure on the prices.
Okay. As far as supply suspension PVC demand in Q4 is concerned, we are heading into peak demand season as far as suspension PVC is concerned. And right now, with all the destocking that happened in Q3, very few inventories are being carried right through the channel. So we do expect a good demand pull going forward. And we do not see any great material flooding the market from China. We've not seen anything great. Yes, China is one of the, maybe they do around 20% of the total imports coming into India comes from China, but it's not as if there is a veritable flood. Even within China, there is a significant demand growth, and we believe that there is pressure on operations of existing plants with the Winter Olympics and various other, the decarbonization, etc. So we do not see that as a threat.
Okay, great. And following up on the same, in January, so this demand traction is already visible in numbers? In your numbers in terms of YOY or sequential year?
In the second half of January, yes. Like I said, the drop in prices went till the middle of January. After that, it has stabilized. And now it is looking like some import quotes have already started coming in higher. So that itself is, it's just an evidence of the market demand getting stronger.
Okay. So net, you're expecting that the resin price downward momentum, which we have seen in last 2 months or one and a half, 2 months, that is nearly bottomed out and demand also should pick up. So that would also lead to better channel stocking?
Exactly. That's our expectation.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one question. In Q3, for suspension PVC, what was the operating rate? And because of the increased inventory levels in Q4, will the operating rate remain at same levels or are we planning to curb the operating rate? Thank you.
So we never curb, operating rates for demand purposes because we are, we know that this whatever inventory buildup is happening or the weakness in demand that we see is very temporary. So curbing operating rate would mean a permanent loss of volume, which is something that we never do. So we do not see that happening. We will be producing and we are quite confident that this is just a temporary inventory buildup. And even now, if you look at it, when we say inventory buildup, it's still a 1 month inventory buildup, a little less than 1 month. Because we are used to having inventory of only around 4 days, 5 days, or 6 days, we see less than 1 month as something big. But in many industries, a 1 month working capital inventory is possibly the norm. But we do not believe that we are not under any pressure to cut back on operations.
Right, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot, Investor.
And in February, in early February, there is a shutdown that we are anyway taking, which is an annual shutdown that we take, during which we will also be lining up some of the debottlenecking equipment, whatever is being put in. So that will anyway be there.
And for how many days will this shutdown last for?
That will be around 12 days. That is a normal annual phenomenon.
Right. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshik Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks and congratulations for the great set of numbers. So I have just one question. So given what you're saying is the pricing trend for almost all the product categories which we are into is going to stay firm, so what kind of EBITDA margin should we kind of run with in short to medium term for our company?
We have achieved an EBITDA margin of 24% for the quarter and year as a whole it is around 21%. I think last year also was close to that. We would refrain from giving any specific guidance going forward. I think the somewhere between these two levels would be a reasonable level to assume going forward. But we would like to refrain from giving any specific number.
Sure, no issues. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darshan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aegis Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen, thanks. My first question is, I'd like to learn about the current size of the custom manufacturing, gross block. Or if you could just tell us a little bit more about what is that specific asset block.
On the asset block, on the gross block, current gross block is around 80 crores.
80 crores, okay. And how will it progress? Does this include the debottlenecking?
Yeah, debottlenecking is a marginal capex that we will incur. But the large capex is in terms of the projects that we are incurring. Like we had committed in the IPO, we have already started progressing on that. We have... So we are looking at an investment of around 340-350 crores over the next 3 years.
Okay. And I just wanted to understand also that in terms of total number of products commercialized till date, could you give us some more color on that? And is this from, have you tied up with the innovators or are we still in the pilot stage there?
No, we've been working with innovators for a long time and we continue to sort of enlarge the customer base. And of course, in terms of the number of products and the details, we would like to refrain from giving the details for competitive reasons. Hope you would appreciate.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. But in terms and of the relationship, it's only strengthening.
Okay, got it. And sir, the power and fuel costs, Are we looking for any alternative sources other than coal today?
Okay, so as far as our subsidiary, today coal accounts for around 40% of our total power mix. And we also have some portion coming in through gas and some portion is through the grid. So we buy the grid power. In our subsidiary company, Chemplast Cuddalore Vinyls Limited, we are looking at, we are working with somebody on a group captive power project on the solar front, which could account for 25% of the CCVL requirement. So we are constantly looking at this. We also have some windmills on in our own site, but those are not too significant. But yes, we are looking at means where we can reduce the proportion of coal in the overall mix.
Okay, and so this the mention of solar, you factor that in your capex guidance when you have given them out, or this is the incremental capex that you're looking at, and by when do you think it will get commercialized if at all you pursue the solar project?
Okay, this is a group captive power project, so it's not like we are setting it up, it is being set up by somebody else, and you know, we would only be subscribing to it in that sense. So this is something that we're working with them on, and hopefully before the end of the next financial year, we should have some news to share on that.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. In closing, I would like to mention that the demand outlook for both paste PVC and suspension PVC continues to be strong due to the significant deficit worldwide and especially in the region, and the high import dependence in the domestic market and the global tightness augur well for domestic manufacturers like us. With our dominant position in the Indian market and the expansion plans to cater to the growing demand, we believe that we are well placed to benefit from the uptake in the chlorovinyl sectors, including PVC, both suspension and specialty paste and caustic soda. The custom manufactured chemicals pipeline is also strong and the prospects are encouraging. And the strength of the balance sheet, especially post the IPO, puts us in a strong position to take advantage of the various growth opportunities. With this, I conclude the call, and if you have any further queries, please do contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. And thank you once again for joining us today on this earnings call, and please do stay safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.